and I don't think she's going to be there. So she will have nothing to do with that guarantee. However, thank you, Prue. Hey, for those of you who may be newer to this, to Christ Church also, there are some names up there, things like Ministry Center and Office Condo and that type of thing. This is referred to as the church building. The Ministry Center is our kids' ministry center that's right up the hill, and you'll see it in that strip of condos right there is Unit 1. And then the office condo is actually Unit 6. And so if those are things that you're interested in doing, just know that those are the places that they're referring to. Just to kind of orient you to that. We try and use our campus as well as we can. It's good to be here this morning. I hope you guys have had another good week. We were talking again this morning about every time that we get together as God's family, every time we get together as a church, we are celebrating the fact that on the first day of the week, Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? Every time we gather, it's like having Easter. Now, we have a big Easter service, but the truth is that every time we gather, Jesus has risen, and that's changed everything. It's changed everything in our lives. It's changed everything in this world. Amen? So I'm going to say something this morning like we usually do on Easter, but he is risen. I'm going to do that three times because some people go, what? Okay, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. We're going to be reading this morning from Mark chapter 3, verse 31 through 35. It's a passage taken out of the gospel, out of the life of Jesus. And it's not a passage that maybe, I don't know that I've heard many sermons on this one, because it's kind of an interesting passage. But in Mark 3, 31 through 35, it says this: Jesus' mother and brothers came to where he was. Now, you have to understand that at this point, it seems that Jesus' father, Joseph, earthly father, has passed away, and so he's no longer with them. So Jesus, as the older brother, is officially overseeing this family. He's supposed to be taking care of them. So the mother and the brothers and the sisters have to kind of follow him around to figure out, you know, what are you doing now? So you can imagine they tried staying in their own home, but every so often they'll come by. But Jesus' mother and brothers came to where he was. They stood outside and sent word for him to come and talk with them. And he has a responsibility to his family. And there were those in the crowd that were sitting with him, and you can imagine they're getting a little agitated and nervous, and they say to him, your mother and your brothers are outside, and they're asking for you, because he doesn't seem to be moving or responding to that request. And Jesus turns to them and says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he looked at those around him and said, look, these are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So be blessed, go in peace, and let's go home, right? What was that? You know, I really don't think that we can ever overemphasize or overstate the importance of family in our lives. If you think about it, God, when he designed this world, he made it so that the only way that life, a new life, could enter into this world was when you have two other lives that intentionally come together. They're joined together. And his original intent was that those two people, no matter how different, no matter how unique, would have this common love for one another, this respect for one another, this commitment to one another, that would carve out this new space, this safe environment for those lives that would be brought into this world, for them to come into and have a place of nurture and of safety, for them to grow. And we know that this thing called family, God's intent, family was this essential part of God's plan for how life even happens in this world. So we can't overemphasize or overstate the importance of family in each one of our lives. However, I also know that there are many times that we have found that in this broken world, those things that God has intended is not always what we find. Everything is not always as God intended it to be. So the love and the commitment, the safety, the normalcy, right? It's not always a given when it comes to family. In fact, I know that some of you have experienced some of maybe even the trauma or those events in the family that in this place, this environment that was supposed to be safe and nurturing, and you have experienced, in fact, some of those things that have been somewhat devastating even in your life. But I want us to know, too, that that doesn't change the fact that it can't be overstated, it can't be overemphasized how important family is in each one of our lives. Family is how we got here. Family is how we entered into this world. That is what makes this passage in Mark that we just read, that's what makes it all the more troubling. Because here is God, you know, God walking among us, Jesus Christ living among us. He's a God who designed family to be that, and he is all but discounting that his family is outside, discounting his earthly family. And in that, we're looking at that, we're kind of unsettled by that and by the statement he makes of, yeah, who's my mother? Who are my brothers anyway? And we have to say, what was he doing? Why is that in there? Why did Mark include this in his gospel? Here's Mark, and he's putting together this account of the life of Christ, right? And he has all these stories he can choose from and all the things that Jesus taught. And for some reason, Mark says, this is one of the most important things that I could put in this book that only has room for a set number of things that Jesus did and said. And not only Mark, but Peter before him, because like I mentioned last week, Mark's account, Mark's gospel is based on the accounts by tradition tells us. It says that Peter is the one that was Mark was referring to. He was writing down the things that Peter had preached, that Peter had told about. So here's Peter, who's probably one of the people that knew Jesus the best. And he had obviously impressed on Mark that this event was one of those things that you want to make sure to transmit, to record, to get to the people, to let them know that this is something that Jesus did, that this is something that Jesus said. And then we look into Peter and we say, you know, this is the first time, but it's not the only time that Peter refers to this type of a thing, this topic of family, and how God wants us to see this thing called family. Because it's actually, we find it in the passage that we've been looking at, out of 2 Peter chapter 1 for the last several weeks. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, it says, applying all diligence in your faith, supply goodness, in your goodness, knowledge, in your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance, in your perseverance, godliness, in your godliness, mutual affection, and in your mutual affection, love. Now, over the last several weeks, what we've seen is this passage, we've looked at faith and goodness and knowledge and self-control, and we've looked at perseverance, and last week we talked about what godliness is, and what we found is this is a journey that's being described here, a journey that God takes us on of transformation. From being those people that just know Jesus to those who intentionally reflect Jesus in our lives. He's taking us on this journey. And in that journey, he wants us to become more like Jesus, more like his son. And so we say, okay, so that's great, but where's this reference to family that I was talking about? Well, it's actually found in that next step, the step we're talking about today, that next word on our list, which in our translation is mutual affection. But in Greek, the word is philadelphion. Now, that sounds a lot like a word that we all know, right? There's a big town down just south of us, right? Philadelphia. And it's the city of brotherly love. Why? Because philadelphion in Greek is made up of two different words. The one is phileo, it's the love that's found between friends. And the other is adelphos. And adelphos, most people say that's the word for brother, but actually adelpha is the word for sister. It's the word for a sibling. So it's this love that's shared between siblings, a love that's shared between family. And so Peter is saying, you know what's next? It's very important for you to understand this idea of the family of God, and to enter into the love that the family shares. It says this is the next step in us growing into the likeness of Christ, reflecting who he was. We see that Jesus saw that this was important. But we say, what is this Philadelphion? What is this kind of love that's shared between siblings? What does that have to do with becoming more like Jesus? Well, I want you to think about it. In anything that we pursue, anything that we do, anything we commit ourselves to, there comes a point in that process of growing into that, living into that, that people look at us and they acknowledge that we are becoming identified with and identified by that thing that we have committed ourselves to, right? We talked about that last week. So if I commit myself to doing the work of a runner, there comes a point that people look at me and they start saying, yep, you're a runner. They identify me as that thing. In the same way, last week what we said was that was what was referred to as godliness. That's that idea of what it means to become reflective of that thing. Because when we begin to follow Jesus, as we commit ourselves to the work of just cooperating with God, what God is doing in our lives to transform us, we find that there comes a point that people look at us and they say, you're one of those Jesus people, aren't you? Right? Now, they may not have the language for it, so they may say, you seem to be pretty religious. Or they may say, you know, oh, you're one of those people, right? Or they may just say, oh, you're one of those, right? But whatever they're saying is they're saying you're starting to reflect something that you have been pursuing. You're starting to reflect the life of one who follows after Jesus. That is what we said was godliness. And in that, when they say that, they start to acknowledge that. Well, after that happens, Peter says that something else begins to happen. And that is that you begin to seek out those people that have committed themselves to that same thing. Those people that have become identified with those same things. So if you're a runner, runners, you find out, like to hang out with other runners. Why? Because other runners get it. They get why they do what they do, why they eat what they eat, why they sleep like they sleep, why they don't do what they don't do. And aside from that, other runners can share stories with them. They can tell them about the times that they hit the same kind of challenges they hit and how they overcame them. They can encourage them to keep pushing on. Hey, don't worry. You'll get over this. You'll get through this. You'll find a time that this and this and this is going to start to happen. And so they like to hang out with them to be encouraged in the same way. The people of God, the people that are following Jesus, we need to. We enjoy hanging out with each other. When it's going well, right? We enjoy hanging out with others. Why? Because these are the people that get us. I mean, a lot of people would look at you guys and say, why are you giving up a beautiful Sunday morning? You could A, either be sleeping in, or B, you could be outside doing something great. Why would you come and sit in this room and sing some songs and listen to some guy talk about some guy that lived 2,000 years ago and reading from some book that's about that old? Why would you do that? They don't get it. But the people in this room, we get it. We understand. We know. We know why we sacrifice the way we sacrifice. We know why we invest the way we invest our lives, our times, our efforts. Because we're pursuing this life, this journey of being like Christ, intentionally reflecting the life of Christ in our everyday life. And so we come here, one, to be encouraged. We come here to hear stories. We come here to learn from each other, to say, man, this is a challenge I'm hitting. How am I supposed to get through it? And somebody can come alongside and say, you know, I did that too. I walked right through that. It wasn't exactly the same, but it's pretty similar. This is what I found. We're encouraged by that. We learn. Why? Because runners learn from other runners. And followers of Jesus learn from other followers of Jesus. And so we talk about and we sing about and we pray about And we press into this life that we share, this commitment, this pursuit that we share together, this pursuit of this friend that we have found named Jesus, this pursuit of this life that he has offered to us. The best way to express that kind of bond that ties us together, the best way to express that in Greek is philadelphion. It's that love. It's a love. It's not a romantic love, but it's a deeper connection than just kind of a passing acquaintance. It's somewhat like the love between friends, where you have that kind of mutually shared experience or that kind of affinity, like the same things. But it's different than that. It's deeper than that. Think about what the bond between siblings, what that is. Because here are these siblings that they have made their way into life itself through that same gateway, through that same thing called family. That source where they entered into life is the same for them. There is nothing that ties you to someone closer than that in life. I mean, we may share a lot of things, but I have not discovered life in the same way that you did. Because we've come from different families. But siblings, they walk into life together. And so that bond, if you think about it, how much more important then is that family, that bond that we find because we have walked into eternity together. We have found the same entry point. We share that same common source of eternal life. Says that is philadelphion. That is that shared bond between siblings of this new life in Christ. This is what Jesus was talking about. This is what Peter was talking about. And he says it is essential if we're going to reflect Jesus and his perspective and his life in this world, we have to understand this philadelphion, this new family. This new family was essential, was of utmost importance to Jesus. That's what he was saying in Mark. This is the most essential bond that I share. This is the most essential life. How much more should we also see that and share that commitment? So what is philadelphion? Basically, it's a love for your brothers and sisters in Christ, a commitment to your brothers and sisters in Christ is based on your understanding of your deep connection to one another. It's based on this deep need that we understand we have a deep need for one another. And also we understand that we have this deep appreciation for one another. Because we share in this life, there are others that we can lean on, but none can we lean on the way we should be able to lean on one another as those who share this life that has been given to us in Christ. So this is a love and commitment. I said that at the beginning, God had designed this world so that family was directly tied to how we enter into this world. Family is that place, that means of growing in this world. Family is supposed to be that place of safety that protects us in the midst of walking through this world. And what we share in family goes deeper than what we know, than anything that we can fully understand, which is why when family then breaks down, it can be devastating. When family is the thing that sometimes even tears us down, that can be devastating. And you guys, do you understand that Jesus knew that? And he knew that because this world is broken, that is what we often experience. And because of that, he came into this world and he said, I am going to offer a new gateway into a new family, into a new life of an unbroken world. I'm going to offer you a way into this new family that you can share. So there's this thing that Scripture, it refers to as, that's the new birth that John talks about. It says it's like you got to be born again. Why? Because we have to start new. This old thing is broken. And he says this is new birth into a new family, through a new family, into this unbroken world. That's why Jesus said in Mark, if you want to know where my first commitment lies, it is with this family. It's with this family. Who's my mother? Who's my brothers? Anyone who is doing God's will. Anyone who has been born anew into this new life. This is my mother and my brothers and my sisters. This is this new Philadelphian of the kingdom of God. And Peter says, you know, if we're going to grow into the likeness of Christ, if we're going to grow in understanding of what that life is about, we have to understand that. We have to know that. We have to understand this Philadelphian. He knew it was essential. He also knew that this was essential that we know about because he knows that every one of us, you guys, it doesn't matter how good of a family you came from. In this world that's broken, every one of us has come from a family that has been broken in some kind of a way. And that has had an impact on us. Some of us understand that deeper and more personally than others. But the other thing is this, and I want you guys to hear this. He knew that no matter how good a family we come from, that family was never intended to be the end all of what we knew family to be. That was intended to be an introduction. It was intended to be a taste of, a foreshadowing of the family that he was going to bring us into in his own family. That's what our families were meant to be. At their best was an introduction, because from before time began, it says God always intended us to be brought into his family as his own children. So he said, no matter how good of a family or how broken of a family you've come from, this is essential. That's why Jesus said, my first commitment, my first understanding of Philadelphian is the family of God. Because it so surpasses the importance of and the needs. And if we can't overstate the importance of family, this physical family and the impact it has on our lives, even more so, to what degree can we not overstate the importance of being a part of the family of God, the Philadelphian of God's family. So what is this Philadelphian? What does it look like in action? How do we live into that? I mean, we want to make sure that in this journey of following and becoming more like Jesus, that we're not just kind of coming out with theories and Greek words and stuff like that, right? I want to say, so how do we live into this? Well, you guys, it's fairly easy. It really is. The first thing that we need to do is we need to hang out together. We need to spend time together. And in that time, we need to be sharing the stories and sharing the challenges and learning from each other. That's what family does. That's what, at our best, runners learn to run by running on their own, but they learn to run also by hanging out with other runners and watching them and listening to them and learning from them and being challenged by them and encouraged by them. In the same way, followers of Jesus learn to follow Jesus by following him on their own, but also by hanging out with other followers of Jesus and watching them and learning and listening and asking questions and telling challenges and coming alongside each other and encouraging and mentoring and training and just being with each other. So if you are serious about your pursuit of Jesus, a question you need to ask yourself is, where am I spending time, real time, with the people of God? And in that time, where am I sharing stories and listening to them? Where is that happening in my life? Because if we're going to live into the Philadelphian of the kingdom, we're going to have to spend time together. We're going to have to share stories together. We're going to have to share what's really going on in our lives together, because that's what family does. Second is this. While we're with each other, are we kind of putting into practice the Jesus stuff, testing it out on each other, right? You know what I mean? I mean, are we doing the stuff that God called us to do? Are you guys kind of practicing praying for each other? You know, hey, let me try this one, right? Let me try praying with you, right? Are you practicing generosity on each other? I'm going to try to be generous. I'm going to just pick a random person and for no reason whatsoever, with no expectation, I'm just going to try and bless them. I'm going to try it. You know, that's what we're called to do, so I'm going to try this one out. Why do we want to do it within the family? Why? Because everybody in this room knows what you're trying to do. We're not going to judge you for it. We're not going to say, oh, man, you really blew that generosity thing, didn't you? We're looking at you going, look at you. You're doing it. Yeah, sure, you know, there's some things maybe you could have done a little bit better, but honestly, that was awesome. Why? Because we know what you're chasing after. Why? Because we're chasing it too. So why would we try out the Jesus stuff here? Why would we practice with each other? Why would some people who, they're like, I don't know why God seems to be pushing me this way, but I'm going to go spend some time with the kids up in the kids in the Children's Ministry Center. Or even more, I don't know why God's pushing me this way, but I'm going to try investing my life in some junior hires, right? Why would we do that? Why would we do that here? Because that's what God, this is family. We're pushing into that Philadelphion of God. So if you are serious about pursuing this life of reflecting Jesus, where are those places that you are practicing the ministry that God has called you to, that God has given you the life to, that you're growing into? Where are you praying with others? Where are you encouraging others? If you guys want, and you've seen it before, if any of you guys are saying, I don't know why, but I think God's calling me to preach. Seriously. Yeah, just tell me the week, and we'll try and set it up, get you prepped. Right? Where are we doing that in our lives? Stepping out into those things that we know God is calling us into and trying it out here where it's safe so that we can get good at it, so when we push outward to those who don't know Jesus, we really know what we're doing. We know how to love. We know how to bless. We know how to encourage. And we receive the feedback from those around us who love us most, not in judgment, but in encouragement to keep growing, keep going, keep pressing in. The third is this, and it comes out of the story in Mark, just like Jesus did. If we're going to grow into this life that Jesus has called us to reflect him, we need to make this family a priority. We need to make this family a priority. You know, we're about to go into the holiday season, right? Where we take all kinds of time and invest all kinds of effort and drive all kinds of miles sometimes and all kinds of money to buy gifts and invest in food and family. And it's all to celebrate this thing called family. And for some of us, that is a joyful time. For some of us, it's a challenging time. But none of us can deny that role that family plays. And so these holidays tend to take on that kind of a flavor. Why? Because this family, this earthly family that we have come out of, it was the gateway to life itself for us. And we cannot escape that. So the question is this, how much more should we intentionally be pressing into, investing time in, investing effort into relationships and time with celebrating the family of God who has become the gateway into this eternal life that we share? That's what Jesus was talking about in Mark chapter 3. That's also why Peter says this is the next step. When you have begun to reflect godliness in a way that people say, oh, you must be one of those Jesus people. At that point, you can know it becomes important for you to start learning from some of the other Jesus people around you. And we start really learning what it means to be a family together, what it means to share the love that only siblings can know. that bond, that commitment that comes from finding life together and being called into a life and being entering into a life together with all of its challenges of being the family, the fellow siblings, the fellow children of God. So this holiday season, as we go into it, as you guys see various, you know, and again, you guys, there's the positive. A lot of you guys have come from great families where you're going into it and you're going, this is going to be so fun being with family again. And some of you guys are going into it dreading because you're going, this is not going to be fun, right? And some of you guys are going into it going, this family that I came into this life through has become so disintegrated, I don't really, for all practical purposes, I don't have one. And I understand that. But still, to be able to use this holiday season, and not just this holiday, but the holiday that stretches from this day until Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom, that holiday that says, you know what, I've been brought into a new life through a new family with a new hope that will never be taken away, will never disintegrate, will never be broken again. To be able to celebrate in that holiday season this thing called the love of family, this Philadelphion of the family of God. We need to learn that, you guys. Because in learning that, we would learn how to reflect Jesus, what was important to him, what he stood for. Amen? Father, we want to thank you for the family that you have provided us, something that we could not make on our own. In fact, we had taken that blessing that you had given us of family, that life that you had given us, that entry into and that introduction of life itself. And God, it has become pretty messed up. It has become pretty broken at times. So we thank you. Even at its best, God, it's marred. It has its quirks and its pieces, God. But we thank you for the gift that you have given us of life in Christ, that birth into this family of God that will never break, will never be taken away, that will never just crumble around us, stand forever into eternity. We thank you for that gift. It was yours to give. All we did was we needed it. So, Father, we bless you. We thank you. I pray that you would push us to know deeper and deeper what it means to be the family of God, the children of God who share this love for one another and who practice being like our older brother Jesus, being like our Father in heaven, so that we would make you known to a world who desperately needs you. We pray this in Jesus' name.